We are Vagina Soup.
We are Vagina Soup. And you might ask yourself, what is Vagina Soup? It's not like the, if you Urban Dictionaried it, it's not a good thing. It's like soupy vagina, right? Like
disgusting.
Actual vagina. Our Vagina Soup is more of soup as in like everything. So you're just like throwing stuff in there. We got carrots and celery and, you know, vaginas and babies and
boobies,
boobs and butts and everything, that kind of soup. So we hope that everyone understands that that's where we're going.
But this is not a culinary podcast.
No. I mean, we may talk about food, but not in like an educational sort of way.
No. Anyway, who are you?
Who am I? I am. So this is one thing that everyone's just going to have to get over right away. Both of our names are Amanda, okay? Just deal with it. So I'm Amanda Flo, we will call me. I am a 40-something-year-old lady with two kids and a husband. I've also been a nurse, an RN, stands for registered nurse, for about 20 years. Oh my gosh, yeah, almost 20 years. I did pediatric nursing at a children's hospital in Seattle, where I did bone marrow transplant and oncology. That sounds super depressing. And then which I loved, it was amazing. And then I went to OB. So I've been in OB for the last 16 years. That's where I met the lovely and talented Amanda B.
Yeah. Thank you for calling me talented. Yes. Okay, so my story is I've been a nurse for 25 years. I am 40-something for two more days.
Until she's not 40-something.
Enjoy those two more days. Married, couple kids. Now one starting high school, the other's in seventh grade. And been a nurse for 25 years. Pediatrics to start with for a little bit. Pediatric home health, struggled with it. Didn't enjoy seeing sick children that could talk to me. Depressing, cried a lot. And then moved into OB and found my niche. Love moms, love families, love everything about it. Obviously love babies, who wouldn't love them? But at this point in my life, happy to hand them back when they're screaming with their parents and know that I get to go home and sleep through the night. But what we've discovered is there's a lot of information out there that people are reading and hearing stories from friends about what they should expect when they have babies and just life after babies and parenting. And we get that this struggle is real. It is tough. Being a mom and being a parent is tough. So we just want to talk about it. And it's not just parenting. I mean, this whole podcast, our intention is not just to be about delivering babies and pregnancy, but it's what you deal with after and just
like women's issues in general.
Yeah.
So how we even came to this point was Amanda and I listen to lots of podcasts, which we love. And we talk a lot and we thought, and I'm just going to say it, like we both like think we're funny. So we have lots of like conversations, lots of talking. You know, I find that the older you get, the more people are asking for advice. And we thought, oh my gosh, wouldn't that be fun to like get together and do a podcast and actually share some real information, share some real knowledge, because we are actually medical and nurses, but also do it in a fun, supportive, non-judgmental way.
No, we're totally going to judge.
Well, judgy in like certain areas, but not judgy like in others. We'll have to just figure that out as we go.
Yeah.
But
even if in our minds we might be, no, we are judging, but we're going to tell you that we're not. And it's, we're not judging you as a parent. We're just judging because we think it's fun, kind of. But we're going to share stories, our own experiences, stories that we've dealt with at our hospitals. And this is not affiliated with our hospital at all. We want to make that clear. Like, these are our opinions. Take from it what you want. You can love it or hate it. We don't really care that much. We just want to have fun. But we are like the two girlfriends where you're going to want to share your story, get our opinions, and we want to hear about it. So I think our topic today is really, well, you know, I think we could go into it.
So that's
for a second. Okay.
Are you good?
Yeah, I'm totally good. Okay.
So that's sort of just the skinny on us, and kind of how we got to this point. So, how was your week?
My week was good. I'm trying to even remember my week because even though my kids are older, I seem time is slipping by so quickly that I feel like I don't really remember what happened yesterday. Right now I'm struggling with this Fortnite addiction of my son who spends countless hours playing this game.
And I think your son, my husband.
I think I've justified it a little bit because I feel like he has more friends now. They may live in Australia or England.
And they might be 50-year-old men. We don't know, but we kind of don't care.
But I feel like, yeah, it was that mom that said, oh, I'm never going to let my son will get that 1 hour screen
time. Yes, 1 hour screen time a day.
So that part's not working. I might need to send him to rehab for gaming, but he's 12. But right now I'm good. Summer's good. Yeah. And then my daughter tried to drive my car.
Oh, you know,
she's 14. I felt like I should let this happen.
So I don't think you could be held responsible for this legally, right? Now that it's over and done?
Who knows? So I went to an empty business park, right? No one there, no cars, still light outside. It's early evening. And she did awesome. She did great. Learned how to use blinkers, drove a little fast. We had to tone that down. We had a little issue remembering which was the brake and which one was the gas pedal when parking. And we may or may not have ran into a business park building.
A building, a wall.
But everyone's good. I'm sure there were cameras.
Small damage.
Yeah, a little bit of damage to the car, but...
And what Ella's first response was, let's trade seats so no one knows it was me.
Yeah, she was worried.
So you've taught her well on the whole, like, getting out of a situation.
Yeah, so that was my week. So, you know, again, just different experiences with these kids that change every single day. How about yours?
Well, my husband and I... celebrated our 13th year of wedded bliss. Mm.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm just amazed that I have actually made it that far. And I say wedded bliss with like heavy sarcasm because I am not that lady that's like, oh, my husband and I are just best friends. And No. Yeah. No, it's good. It's just...
It's just topic. If I can't stand you, I hate your guts.
No, I mean, like 3 days before, we might have talked about getting divorced. I don't know. Yeah. And then, like, you know, and then we're like, oh, never mind. Ha ha. We love each other.
It's too much joke.
I don't want to go find anyone else. So you're gonna do. You'll do for now. Just joking. So yeah. So we had our little anniversary.
That's awesome.
And what did we do for our anniversary? We went and saw Deadpool 2.
Romantic.
Very romantic. Yeah. And then just kid stuff.
Yeah.
It's summer. Can't wait for school to start.
Yeah.
I need routine again.
Exactly.
All that fun stuff. So.
Well, on that note, I'm just like, okay, wedded bliss and kids and just all these different things. Why don't we talk a little bit about the mom? The mom wanting to be the perfect mom, which is also known as a unicorn, because we know that doesn't exist.
So, is that the soup of the day?
That is our soup of the day.
It's the unicorn mom.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's get to it. Okay, so when we talk about a unicorn mom, what we mean is sort of the it doesn't really exist, even though there's like pictures out there of unicorn moms. Like, everyone has unicorn crap on today, right?
Yeah.
Like, a shirt or a fucking unicorn horn. Like, okay. So they're everywhere, but they don't really exist.
That's a Stepford wife.
It's the same thing. So we mean the mom that everyone thinks is out there, but it really doesn't exist. I promise you. So, gosh, there's so many things about that. And I think one way in which we are... unicorn moms the biggest part, I would say, is the child aspect of it. So like our kids and how we are these unicorn moms with our kids. So did you think that you would ever stand in your house screaming at the top of your lungs at a baby that, not a baby, but at someone that was your baby that you carried in your abdomen for 9 months, or for you, maybe six? Like, sorry, she had early babies. But do you know what I'm saying? Like, No. Did you ever think that you'd be doing that?
No. Why would you yell and scream at this precious little child that you're raising perfectly that will never give you a problem? Yeah. Until they sit in a naughty chair for doing something and look at you and say, I want to kill you. That was my experience. My experience of my 5-year-old daughter at the time.
And she's a sweetie. She's really not Chucky.
She was a baby Chucky. I did think at night sometimes that I should lock my door because I wasn't sure what was going to happen. But yeah, I did therapy. I did this parent-child interaction training where I went into this room with this professional who was behind one-way gloves, and Ella and I would sit and play together, and I'd have an earphone in, like an earbud in.
We're talking like Secret Service.
Yeah, and they would tell me how to talk to my child, who was five years old.
So she would be like, fuck you, Mom, and they were like, go ahead and say, that's okay. In your ear, you're like, God damn it.
It was more like play therapy. So we would play and they'd say, okay, now ask your daughter to hand you the teddy bear. So I'd say, oh, Ella, can you please hand me that teddy bear? And she'd look at me and she'd be like, and she didn't use the words fuck you, but basically
the daggers
told me. And she'd throw it at me. So I'd have to like pick her up and take her into timeout and say, Mommy's going to go play by herself and you can come play with me when you want to do what I say. I would go sit down and play with this
thing that you didn't want to play with.
Teddy bear, yeah. By myself. And God only knows how I did that. I really don't know. But then Ella would come back and I'd say, oh, you're ready to play? And we'd play. And then I'd ask again for her to hand me that bear. It got thrown at me. There were kicking. There were chairs overturning. Timeouts over and over again while I'm trying not to yell and scream at my kid. And 55 minutes later, I got the result I wanted of her handing me that bear. Now, I don't know if it's just she was physically exhausted. And
you had worn her down.
Yeah. So I worn her down. The earbuds, I'm sure the people were just like, we got to go home. Like the clock is like, we're done. We need a break. They did tell me I had the most stubborn child in the world.
Oh.
I like to call her spirited or strong-willed. I think I bought 50 books saying how to tame your child's spirit. There was the devil in her. There was no taming. But now she's 14 and she's pretty cool. Yeah. And, you know, I did Love and Logic and we went to therapy and just to see if we could communicate better. And I think it was just a matter of I didn't know what to expect from this child.
It was like you have this kid. All these things come up that you never even thought of. Like, and you're like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And so I think you're just looking for guidance.
Anything. I mean, I did think she was a little sociopathic and was a little worried. I wasn't sure where that came from, but
yeah. Warren probably.
Definitely. Definitely from Warren. So no, never thought I'd yell and scream at our kids. I mean, and spank our kids. And we were spankers. I mean, they got spots on the bottom. I grew up that way. I mean, I was never abused. I never felt that I had some traumatic event because I was spanked. I was naughty. When I was naughty, I got spanked, and that was the deal. And my kids were both spanked, and my kids have better manners than most kids I know.
Well, and you know, a lot of people right now are like, how could you expect your kid not to hit when you're hitting them for discipline? I mean, we could go into that.
That's a whole rabbit hole.
But I mean, and we spanked our children as well. I got spanked when I was an asshole, and my children have gotten spanked when they're assholes. Mm-hmm. I hate to say it, but that's just the reality of it. And a lot of it's like safety related, and like if you're going to run out into a street, you're going to have some serious consequences, right? Obviously, now that they're older, that's not an issue, and they have more things that you can like take away for discipline. But yeah, the screaming and yelling, and I just thought that I was going to be this mom that like, just had my shit together. Like, I'm a nurse. I love kids. I love, I've always been around kids, huge family, tons of cousins. Like, I loved babies growing up. I mean, I still love babies. I just thought I was going to be this, like, just natural mom mm-hmm. and, like, just amazing at it. And I wasn't.
Yeah.
Like, I totally had postpartum depression.
So did I.
Because I couldn't yep. breastfeed. We'll go into lots of topics. And, you know, some point with this podcast, I think we're hoping that it evolves into people being able to ask us questions and, you know, going on topics and stuff like that. And so for me, that whole right after you had a baby thing, just, it was like, what the fuck just happened? And then no one talks to you about postpartum depression or just emotions. I literally cried like every time someone would look at me. I was like, tears. And I'd be like, I don't know why water's coming out of my face. Like, this is so weird. And it was just hormonal. And like I said, no one, like my mom didn't experience that. She just thought
nobody talked about it.
Going crazy, you know? Yeah. Anyway, there's ways to get through postpartum depression and handle it and all that fun stuff.
Well, mine started with a glass of wine.
Yes. Well, there's appropriate ways and inappropriate ways.
Yeah. My inappropriate way went from, I definitely looked forward to 5 o'clock. I was like, I thought about it. Like, oh, at 5 o'clock, I gotta like pop that bottle open and have a glass of wine, which turned into two, which would turn into three nightly, to the point till I saw my doctor and said, okay, I'm drinking a bottle of wine every night. That is so not me. That's not normal for me. And I was doing it by myself. It's not like I was with my girlfriends and doing it. Yeah. I was just like, okay, I can get through the day better with this. And I thought it made me a better mom, but I think I was just avoiding everything else, you know, avoiding just dealing with the emotions that I was
struggling
with.
I just think it makes dealing with things easier in that short term.
Yeah.
Right? At that moment, you're like, I'm not thinking about all the shit I have to do or thinking about all the just the lists and the things that you should be doing and because you're exhausted and yeah, it's a distraction.
I mean, the unicorn mom, right? They want to have dinner on the table at 6 p.m. There's no structure anymore. There's no structured meals. Your husband comes home from dinner and you're like throwing a cracker at him and being like, good luck to you.
Yeah.
Like that is it. You want to look nice for them. You want to feel good about yourself. And it is a slippery slope into sweatpants, I'll tell you. Like I was, I'm not sure how often I showered, but obviously I wasn't showering enough. I'm quite sure of that. I went from looking put together to like, God, has that woman gone on like a 3-day bender? That's right. That's where I was.
So another way that, you know, when you're trying to be perfect and, some of the things, oh, kids' meals. Oh my gosh. Did you ever think, like, I always thought, oh, I'm going to make baby food. Well, I don't know if I ever thought I was going to make baby food.
I tried it.
Yeah.
And then I thought, oh, no. And jars are fine.
They're never going to eat like a preservative. They're never going to do this. Never going to have a soda. Yeah. Here is a tip from one mom to another. Don't put expectations out there.
No.
Oh, my gosh. Because it will change on a dime. So, you know, you go from like, I want my kid to have this like perfect meal to just like seriously breakfast, lunch, and dinner is macaroni and cheese. And that's just, I mean, like if you don't want to fight for 12 hours, like you're just doing it.
Yeah. Mac and cheese there. I'm sure there's some protein in that powdered cheese.
And you're like, I got to clean the toilet at some point. I don't have time to sit here and argue with you and I actually tried to force a raspberry down to the straw once. I was like, you will eat this raspberry whether you like it or not. Who doesn't like a raspberry?
Well, kids.
I mean, yeah. Oh, my God. She threw up. I was like, okay, well, I guess that's not going to happen again.
Well, you know, I mean, pureeing food. I did try that. Throw it in the ice tray. Freeze it. And it was disgusting. I think it's probably because there was
not enough salt.
Yeah.
Those babies need sodium.
They do. They do. So even as they get older, I mean, a little bit of top ramen. So we've moved on to black shin, which is...
I don't even know what that is. That's so...
Oh my. It's so high class. Fancier ramen soup.
Oh.
It might have like 1,200 milligrams of sodium, which Ella asked me
is
the other day.
Is that your daily allowance?
I don't know. Ella asked me the other day if that's bad for her, and I thought, do you have high blood pressure yet?
No, you're good. No, you're good. You're solid. Good.
You might feel a little bit bloated.
Go ahead and eat that. I don't want to make you anything.
You know, string cheese is good for kids.
That is a healthy option.
Yeah. But, I mean, we've done the phases of chicken nuggets, and we've done the phase of those kind of things. And even at 12 years old, my son will still choose that over something healthy. Now, Ella's moved into, like, the extreme
adult
healthy
food.
Side, adult food. But kids, don't make food your battle. I mean,
no.
They're going to go through their phases where they only want to eat six different things, and just stock
go.
Up on
just
six different
it.
Things.
Yeah, make your life easier.
It doesn't matter.
Oh.
And if you want to feed your husband the same six things, that's fine too.
And if he doesn't like it, he could find something else for himself.
Yep.
But, oh my gosh, I should tell you this story about one time. Back to like yelling and stuff. I was taking, so I live on an island and you have to take a ferry to get to the mainland. And I was taking my girls over town to go shopping and see a movie. Like it was going to be like a fun girl thing. And my oldest was just like, would not stop just being a jerk. Like, just like, arguing with me about everything, arguing with her sister, just everything was pissy, blah, 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 blah. I lost my shit. Like, I pulled over at this parking lot. I screamed, like, probably the loudest I've screamed. Like, of course, their faces are just like, oh, what the fuck? And I was like, okay, I need to get away from the situation. So I parked my car and I got out of the car and just went to, like, walk a little ahead of the car. Oh my God, I felt so bad because the girls came out screaming, crying, like, don't leave us, Mom. I was like, oh my God, I'm not leaving you. I need a break for 1 second. I'm like, I am taking you to go shopping, to see a movie, to have fun, and all you're doing is like, bitch, bitch, bitch. Yeah. Oh my gosh. But anyway, it was
I had this,
their little faces. I felt so guilty.
Well, we had the same experience in a grocery store. So grocery store shopping with little kids.
Yeah.
Your toddler. I had Ella with me and she wanted like the bakery, you know, they give them the free cookie.
Yeah, assholes.
Yeah. God, the free damn cookie. Cause the kids are obsessed with the cookie.
Yeah.
So get Ella a cookie. Well, she wanted a M&M cookie, but that's not what they were giving out. Right. So she had her cookie and she was whining about it. And I remember like, she would not stay in the cart. So I took her out. Still whining, and I'm trying to ignore it because everyone's saying, no, just ignore it. Let them have their fit, right?
Yeah.
And ignore it. She's holding onto my leg, and I'm literally dragging her down the aisle with my cart. And I think Warren was at home, and he was sick, so I had to get him some stuff. So it wasn't like, oh, you can leave the store. Nobody
yeah.
wants to get
I know,
stuff
that
in their cart
and leave,
right?
The whole idea of leaving the store, it's like, yeah.
So I'm dragging her.
I took my one shower for the week. I can't leave.
I smell good. I'm here. So I'm dragging her down the aisle. She's still bitching about this cookie, which I probably ate it because it made me feel happier. And I remember going to check out and the cashier's like, oh, would your daughter like a sticker? And I'm thinking like, I go, does she look like she deserves a sticker right now? Like I couldn't
this
get her.
Not sticker behavior.
No. So I was like, nope, nope. She's good. No sticker. And everyone's looking at me. I'm not sure they feel sorry for me or for the girl that's laying on my leg down. I don't know who they felt sorry for. Maybe they didn't. Maybe I just annoyed them all. We get out to the car and we get in the car and I turn around. Oh my God. I feel horrible. Well, I feel horrible now. Well, maybe I feel horrible then. I don't feel horrible now. I remember turning around and saying to her, like, shut up, you fucking shit. And she's screaming and I'm bawling. And I call Warren and I'm like going, I just cursed at our kid as I dragged her through the store on my leg.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I can't take it anymore. Like, I don't want to be a mom right now.
Yeah.
And I don't, well, Christian must have been around, but he must not have been with me. He must have been at home. I was like, I don't want to be a mom. I just want to go home, drop her off, get in the car, and Thelma and Louisa.
Yeah.
Pick you up. And
so
Thelma and Louisa.
Like, we have this like all, okay, so Ella's 14 and my youngest is 8. So we have them between, 4 of them between 8 and 14 between the two of us. And I mean, probably a weekly basis, we call each other and be like, okay, we are Thelma and Louising it out of here.
We are out.
Like it's a verb.
Mm-hmm.
We are out.
I know.
Like Thelma and Louisa. I don't really want to kill myself at the end.
No, but
no,
I would have taken it Brad Pitt.
Yeah. Oh.
Brad Pitt back in Legend of the Falls days, oh God, or just... Thelma and Louise days, but not now.
No, not so much now. He's used and abused. But yes. Oh.
Okay, now we're just dreaming.
The two of us.
Yeah. Just driving away.
You have your convertible, and we could just pick up Brad Pitt.
We could. I think Jason Momoa now.
Oh yes. Yeah.
Aquaman. Yes. Anyway. Let's get our minds back to...
Now, talking about...
Aquaman?
Aquaman. Jason, as I like to call him. Jay. oh my gosh. So what is another part of this unicorn mom? It's like the husband aspect, where you feel like you have to be this certain... Like, the wife for your husband.
Who's the husband? What's a husband? At that point, we got our babies. We are complete.
I know. So we both got married probably a little later in life. I mean, I was 29, so
young. But I was 35.
Yeah, so, but still, I mean, a lot of people get married when they're 20. And
yeah.
But anywho, so, I mean, all I ever wanted was to get married and have a family and babies. And then, so you get married. And then you're like, oh... This isn't like the rom-coms.
No.
Where...
Mine was quick. Like, we, like, met on Match.com. We met in January. We were engaged by November. Married by the following September.
Yeah, you had a long engagement, though, it seemed like.
A year? Well, yeah, just shy of a year. And then got pregnant 6 weeks later.
Oh, yeah.
So we didn't really get to do the whole marriage thing. But, I mean, honestly, like, that was my plan. Like, once I got married, I'm like, we need to boom these babies out because these eggs are like craisins. And no, I just needed to see, well, first of all, I didn't know how long it was going to take to get pregnant.
Yeah. Apparently, she's fertile.
Since Ella was early, she is convinced I was pregnant before we got married. She was born early because... It was pretty quick. So she's convinced of it. But I remember, like, on our second date, and Warren loves to tell this story, is that on our second date that I was like, where's this relationship going? Now,
and
I don't think those are the words I used. I'm quite sure my words were, I want to get married. I want to have kids. And if this is not what you're interested in, then let's move
on.
Because I've got to, like, I got to get this thing moving.
Well, I can remember going on dates with people and I would say stuff like that. Just be like, oh, hey, like, what's your goal? I mean, I'm not just, like, do you, at some point, I'm not saying with me because we just met, but at some point in your life, is marriage in the picture? Is having children in the picture? Is whatever in the picture? If not, I mean, those things are definitely in my picture. So bye-bye if they're not. And I would have friends that'd be like, oh my gosh, you can't say that. And I was like, yeah, I can. First of all, it weeds out the dill weeds that you can't.
Weeds out the dill weeds.
I feel like a seventh grader. but yeah, like, I don't know. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
But I think after you have these kids, you know, I mean, obviously something changes. Because now your husband is not, I don't want to say not your number one, but really
well, he's not your number one.
Right? He isn't. No. It's this baby. And
well, here's the deal. It's not even about, like, it's about who has the higher level of need. So I have a husband who can walk on his feet,
you hope.
Who can use his arms and grab food out of the refrigerator.
Fully articulated digits.
He fully articulates and, like, feed himself, right? Yeah. And then you have a baby who's literally a blob that you have to wipe their ass, put food in their mouth for them.
To survive.
Like, for them to live. Okay? So then when you're doing that, and the husband comes up and is like, what's for dinner? You want to be like, go fuck yourself, it's for dinner.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that. Or like, when do I get a little time? When are we going to ever have sex again?
Oh, yeah. Like
sex?
What? So I can totally remember when you were...
After
you had Ella and you were like, never want to have sex again. And I was like, this is before I had kids. So I was like, oh, that will never be me. I'm totally like, I will have sex all the time. Like, that is just how it works with me. You're a loser. I am not your poor husband, right?
Like, I remember the
I literally I was like, high and mighty. That will never happen to me. Oh my God, seriously. The day after, like, well, probably when I was pregnant, it was happening already. But the last thing you want to do is, like, It's not even like I love my husband. It's not even like I'm a man hater. I have brothers. I have dads, or not dads. I have one dad. I have like 12 dads.
Nate was busy.
Yeah. And it's not that. It's just, I don't know if I know how to explain it. Like, so one.
Well, for me, it's like a switch went off. I'm just like, oh, sex. I'm like thinking I'd much rather. There were times I thought I'd much rather have root canal than actually have to see your penis.
Yeah.
Or get it near
me. And then have it near my vagina. Like, I don't want any of that. One, okay, so here's a couple reasons. When was the last time I took a shower? We don't know. So if...
And groomed.
It doesn't make me feel sexy when I know it's like Hiroshima down there.
Pull out the weed whacker.
I know, it's like... Machete. Okay, babe, like, look away? I don't know. Like, I don't, that doesn't make me feel good about myself.
No.
And then, okay, so you've been giving to this child all day who you love and you wanted and all that stuff, but it still is a lot of work no matter how you slice it. And then if you work, oh, God. Like, and, I mean, I'm not trying to be like,
we're working night shift workers.
And we're nurses. So what do you do for 12 hours when you're a nurse? Can I get you anything else? Yeah. Can I get you anything else? What do you need? Oh, can I help you with that? Give, which I love. I love it. That is my, I wanted this job. I love it, love it, love it. But then, so you're doing that. And then you have no choice but to give to your children because they, like I said earlier, can't live without you feeding them, right? And then you have to take a shower yourself, right? Maybe. You have parents to deal with. Possibly grandparents, siblings, like you have all this stuff going on. And then your husband comes home and is like, hey, let's get down to it. And you're like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, do you have any clue what I have done today?
Have you seen the amount of toys over here that need to be cleaned up?
Go ahead and feel my legs and you tell me if you want to have sex. Because it's like a prickly pear down there. I don't know what's happening, but.
Oh, that's, I was going to say more grow out like Bigfoot. But yeah, I mean. Yeah. I know. Well, and I think they look at us like, where's that woman that I...
The one I'm, yeah, fell married. In love with. And mm-hmm. Yeah.
When we care.
She died when she had children.
It literally is like the baby comes out and there's like a switch in your vagina that they turn off when they come out.
They're like, turn off the lights on your way out.
They do. They turn off. I've always equated it to like being a switch. Like there is a switch that gets turned off. And the baby comes out, it's like, all right, mama doesn't need it anymore, and clicks it off.
I think it's a biological thing. I really do. So that obviously, I mean, this is a little technical.
Our opinion.
I think, biologically speaking, women do that so that they can not get pregnant right away because your body shouldn't get pregnant for a year after you have a baby. So I think that is definitely worked into your biology.
Yeah.
And that is why... Sister wives were created.
Oh my God. So I would take a sister wife and I would let them have all my dates.
I would have at least two sister wives. So this is how I envision my sister wives. One, I'm going to be the number one so that I hold all the cards, right?
And you deal with the money.
Yeah, I deal with the money. So I can work. I don't mind working. Right. Like I can go to my job.
I don't want
to
work.
I want one to clean and one to cook. And then of those, whatever, then I could be like, okay, I had my babies. I'm done for a year. You go see those other ladies. I don't care. I'm good. And then maybe I'll come back around. I will say, don't you think as we're getting older, it's changing for the better?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So I do think it's like a temporary young child situation.
I do too. Because really, honestly, things are a lot better in so the intimacy part. However, I do have a 12-year-old son who is the biggest cock blocker ever at 12 years old. When we lock our bedroom door, it's immediately knocking, knocking, knocking. Why is the door locked? Because you always come in. Okay, don't lock the door. It makes me nervous. I don't like it. I don't like when you lock the door. Okay, well, then don't come in. Right. Then, or he'll knock on the door and he'll walk in once we open the door. Are you having sex? I mean, this kid wants to know the down and dirty. Like, yeah. he wants to know. And I'm like, that is so weird to me. I mean, he could be... Maybe the other day he was at someone's house and we're like, oh, and Ella was away. And we're like, okay, this is the time. Let's do it. No joke. Mid
penetration.
Mid something. Banging on the door. We thought, what the hell? No one's home. Oh, yes. He came home. I opened the door. And I'm, oh, I'm just taking a nap. He goes in the closet looking for Warren. Warren's hiding.
What? I don't behind clothing. Why Warren was hiding.
He was hiding behind clothing, and Christian is like searching, like this dog. Maybe like this.
He's jealous.
Christian?
Yeah.
I think there might be some jealousy.
I have two girls. Like that boy thing. Maybe it's a boy jealous of
his mom thing. Yeah, maybe it is.
Because one of the other things like that we were talking about was like the whole jealousy, the husband jealousy when you have a child. That is real. That happens. Yeah. And, you know, just your attention goes to something else. And the person that was getting all your attention is sort of like, hey, I'm still here. Why am I not getting attention? I think that's like a normal part. But like I was saying, maybe Christian is like, hey, that's my mom.
That's my mom. Yeah. Or maybe it just weirds him out to think he's,
but then
right
why
now
is he going to it if it weirds him out? Like, stay away.
I don't know. I'm hoping that I'm
going to get you one of those like neon signs that says like XXX. And then whenever it's on,
just put it on the door.
Can't go in.
My God. He's like at the door with a glass listening.
God, perv.
Maybe he's researching. I don't know. God. I don't know.
I hope he's not like, hey, I'm going to give it to you like my dad gave it to me.
Oh, my God. I think that
let's try this. My mom seemed to really enjoy it.
Yeah, I'm quite sure that his dating life will be pretty bad if I'm gonna have to teach him. You can't go in with those words, honey. Like, you can't use those. You know, don't just don't. The whole idea of it is disturbing.
Yes.
Yeah, so the sex part, even though it was hard when we were tired, like it's changed, it's evolved into, it's gotten a little bit easier, but we still, I have a 12-year-old cock blocker in the house. Now, like I could care less. Well, it's better, but we're going to have to figure that one out.
Yeah, we'll definitely have more sex topics. But I mean, and then, so, you know, you're this unicorn mom that's trying to be perfect with your kids and perfect with your husband, and then there's another person that's left over, yourself.
Yeah.
Like, and so, you know, I think we're all, you know, oh my God, the stupid celebrities that are like, 6 weeks after I had a baby, I'm back to my pre-baby weight. And you're like, yeah, motherfucker, you had a C-section at 36 weeks and they did a tummy tuck at the same time.
I was just going to say, yeah.
So don't tell me how you lost your baby weight in 6 weeks, because you didn't.
Yeah.
Like, and not to mention when you have like a trainer and a chef and someone that's cooking your kids' food, it's a lot easier to get in shape.
You know, they're throwing the Spanx on as well. Yeah. Right? I mean.
But that's seriously legit in California. I mean, there's other places that do this where at 36 weeks, which is completely inappropriate, you would do 40 weeks is how many weeks you want to get to when you have a baby. So 36 weeks is early, but they take them out so they don't have that last month of stretching.
Yeah. And, you know, 36 weekers definitely, and I know because I had a 36 weeker and a 35 weeker. These,
I did too.
Yeah, these babies actually have health issues when they are born early. So you decide you want to have this baby by C-section because you want to do vaginal preservation because you don't want to push this thing through your vag and have it upset its integrity, I guess. But you have an early baby who's then having feeding problems, could possibly have breathing problems, have jaundice issues.
Have respiratory issues for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they're just prone to so many more illnesses when they are born early. So that's where I'm judging. I'm going to judge on that one.
There you go.
You know, having a seat. But, you know, you're not going to be back to your, after having a baby, back to your pre-baby weight. Nor, it's going to take some time to, like, it's not just the weight comes off. Now things are soft. Things are not.
Well, and I think your whole body, like, actually can change. Like, your hips and,
everything.
You know, I mean, obviously there's plenty of people that don't change at all and whatever. But I just think a piece of advice is like to not get body crazy.
Yeah.
Like right after you have a baby and just let it happen. Enjoy that time with your baby. You know, there's the whole like, does breastfeeding help you lose weight? I mean, who knows? Because if you're breastfeeding, you are probably losing weight, but you're going to lose weight at that time anyway because you're not having a baby anymore. And well, I think it definitely helps because, you burn more calories. But
really, is that your goal after having a baby right away? Is that it? Just getting back to your weight? Or is it just to like figure this child out?
And just sit with it and enjoy it.
But that unicorn mom wants, again, to be perfect in the way they look, to be that perfect Stepford wife, right?
She's got the kids. And you don't have to. That's not... I think the whole point of this unicorn mom is all these things you don't need to buy into.
No.
Right? So...
But when you deliver that baby, you deliver guilt. And that maternal mother's guilt will never go away.
Never.
You feel guilt. You question yourself every day. If you're being a good mom, being a good wife, let it go.
Just stupid things. Like yesterday... You know, we've gotten in a bad habit of letting the girls are like have their, you know, their little eye touches or whatever. And they're watching TV, walking around. And Tula's like in the bathroom watching TV. And I'm like, why are you taking that around? Like, people don't need to walk around with their phones. Set it down.
My child's guilty.
And go do whatever you need to do. You don't need to carry it with you all the time. We are not watching TV while we're eating. Like, that's not happening. We're sitting here. We're eating. Like, put your phone down. But then I'm like, oh my God, am I like a jerk? Am I being mean? Like, you start questioning all these things and you feel guilty, but you're just trying to like make good humans.
I know. But at the same time, I think we become very selfish because there are times that I am going, okay, just get on your devices because I don't want to deal with you.
Well, and then like I feel my mom guilty. Says, it's like a babysitter, like, you know?
It is. And then I feel guilty that I'm being that mom that just needs to not listen to them fight and argue and... It's like, okay, get on your phone.
Sanity.
Get on
it. It helps. I mean, it definitely will quiet them down so that your brain can think.
Yeah, I know. But it's a tough one. And you know what?
I
have to learn to forgive. We have to learn to forgive ourselves every day and just being like, we're doing the best we can. We're learning. We're learning every single day as it passes, as our kids get older, that... there's no book that's going to tell you how to do this, right? We do the best we can to keep them surviving.
Did you ever do a mom's group when you had?
Oh God, I went to a dinner once. It was a mom's group. And I remember sitting there. It was this group of probably 20 women. I didn't know any of them. And all they did was talk about, well, once they figured out I was a labor nurse, all they want to do is give me their delivery stories. Oh, and I thought, I'm going to shoot myself because I want to have a cocktail. Yeah. I want to talk. I want to like catch up. What's the latest stuff out there? Like, what are other people doing while I'm at home changing diapers? Yeah. Nope. I learned about all their long labors. You know, I was in labor for 14 days, which doesn't really happen.
No.
These long drawn out stories. And I thought, after that one dinner with them, I was like, I can't do this.
Yeah. I mean, I was always like, so I'm in an area where my family is. So like my mom. And so I'm around a lot of family. So I felt like I didn't need to do any mom groups in that regard. Cause my kids had kids to play with and stuff. But most of the time I felt like the mom groups, as much as it's supposed to make your life easier, almost made it, they almost contributed to the unicorn mom, right? So they can all get together and be like, oh, well, I'm doing cloth diapers and I made all my own baby food. It's all like this competition thing. So I know that there's at work, like people will ask about that. Like, oh, do you recommend mom's groups? I'm like, I don't know. I think they make you feel more guilty about yourself. Yeah. But if that's your deal, then great.
Right.
I mean, and I'm not... Well, this is probably sounding judgy, but like if you don't work outside the home, then I think it's easier to do that kind of thing
because have play dates, do the things that you want to do, but don't let these, I mean, people will judge you. Other moms will judge you. So be it. Let them do it.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. But if they're not bringing joy to you or making you feel basically empowered as a mother, then what's the point?
I think you need to find your Amanda.
Yeah. Oh, everyone needs an Amanda in their life.
Like a real person that you can say things like, because I can remember Amanda calling me and being like, I had to spank Christian or Ella or whatever, and I can't tell anyone else up here around me because everyone will judge me. And it's like, she knew that I was doing the same thing.
You're so probably like, oh, can I loan you a wooden spoon? That works better.
Yeah, let me give you a tip. I hurt my hand the other day, so. So, yeah, I think you'd need to really feel good about the decisions you're making. So can you go in your parenting, in your wifing, in your just momming, do you feel comfortable or do you feel good?
Yeah.
And if the answer is yes, then awesome.
Yeah. Then you are being your own unicorn, and that's great. Well, you can fake it till you make it, right?
Yeah.
If your kids can grow up and be productive, respectful adults, which honestly, neither of us have adult children yet, but mine's getting close at 14. I've got great kids that like have good conversation skills. They're very respectful of other adults.
Yeah.
Teachers love them. They do well in school. They've got great friends. I feel like I'm winning.
Yeah.
And, you know, with all the yelling and screaming and spanking and, you know,
tears
and all that we've gone through over the years, my kids are happy and they're solid. So I feel like I'm winning there. And I hope that this podcast can help others feel like they're not alone. And when they make a mistake, you know, I mean, there's many days I apologize to my kids being like, oh, I'm sorry, I was yelling.
Yeah.
Mommy's grumpy or mommy didn't get enough sleep or for whatever reason. Or you just piss me off and I yell.
Yeah, I mean, I've had those times where I'm like, just like, it's a shit show. I'm screaming, shut the fuck up, everybody. And then maybe an hour later I'll go and say, okay, you pissed me off and you actually did something wrong. The way I handled it might not have been the most appropriate. Mm-hmm. I didn't need to swear. I didn't need to yell. But you still need to not do what I was talking about. There are ways that I can handle that. And I think, you know, having those open communications. And then there's always the sneaking away into a closet and having a drink or something.
Oh, God. It might say we have a problem if there's alcohol hidden in the closet.
It's not hidden in the closet. I'd have to bring it into the closet.
It's not between the shoes.
Yeah, or, you know.
I don't know if that says you have. I mean, I think the closet is a perfect place.
Oh, actually, the bathroom, too. It's the only place in my house that has a lock on the door. And so, I mean, they think I go to the bathroom for a long time, but really I'm just in there, like, hiding.
Listening to your podcast. Yeah. Yeah, I know.
And that's, you know, you might have a little sip of something or a little something.
Yeah, just to get through the day.
Yeah.
We're just trying to make it, ladies. I don't know. I think that kind of completes our
unicorn mom topic discussion.
Yeah. I think everyone's just doing the best they can, as we are.
So do the best you can, do what works for you, and do it with a fucking smile on your face. Like, you have to have humor.
You do. And, you know, my kids now that they're at their age, and they don't get spanked anymore, really, because they're too old. You know, they get it. They get it. But over the years of where, you know, Ella got smart, she said, oh, I'm going to call CPS. The best thing about having Amanda Flo in my life is her husband is a homicide detective. And, I've spoken to Andrew about many, many things.
I'm sad that the best thing about having me in your life is my husband. But
no, but what he did. Yeah, well.
Just joking. Well, he's,
he's
we'll
pretty
save
sweet.
That for another.
Anyway, he has, you know, he's made it clear to me about the child abuse laws.
Yeah.
And he's like, you can hand them over to your daughter and let her know that you are allowed to spank her. I was like,
there's clear laws.
There's
on
clear
this.
Laws. Now, beating is completely different. And I know that a lot of people listening to this are going to disagree with the way we discipline our kids. And so be it. You can judge us. It's okay.
And that's the thing. I think you need to do what works for you. If that makes you uncomfortable, don't do it.
No, don't.
It made me feel good.
It didn't make me feel good, but I still slept that night. Slept okay. And there is a big difference between beating and spanking your kid. Are not saying beating the crap out of your kid.
I'm talking spank on a bottom.
Yes.
There's no face hitting, punching.
No. I want to make that clear because I'm sure people are going to judge us, and that's okay.
I never face hit.
Anyway, we'll stop the topic on that.
Oh my gosh.
Anyway, you be your unicorn. You figure it out. But know you're not alone if you make mistakes. And I don't know. We'll see what topic we have cooking for next week.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us.
All right, you guys. That was fun.
That was
fun.
I could go for
that. That was fun.
Morning now.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea. Right.
We'll do lunch.
All right. Well, we are going to see you next week, or I don't know if we'll see you, or you'll hear us next week talking about more of these wonderful topics and just getting into the skinny of it all. Down and dirty.
With vagina soup.
Vagina soup.
Bye.
Bye.